Welcome to 3CR, Dick. Good to have you on board again.
Always a pleasure.
And it's been some time. But this time we're looking at Portugal, and we hear very little about Portugal in Australia. Maybe we could do a little bit of a brief background before we launch into the result of the conference that you attended there.
Well, yes. I mean, Portugal, maybe people have heard that there's a the right-wing government lost the elections last year,
yes.
Late last year, and that but they still had a relative majority, and they were expecting to be accepted as the new government. But what happened was that the Socialist Party, which was the second party, got support from the left bloc, which is the Communist Party. The left bloc is a sort of new left party, which brings together far left organisations and a lot of independent people,
and Greens too, doesn't it?
And the Greens are separate. The Greens mm-hmm. is a separate organisation, but there are a lot of green people in the left bloc. Put a lot of ecologically minded people in the left bloc. That's for sure. So it's very strong on environment. So it's you can't just say that all the environmentally conscious people are in the Greens.
Mm.
But anyway, the point of it all is that they said the left bloc and the Communist Party said to the Socialist Party, we will support you in government. We won't participate in government, but we'll support you in government as long as you give us some guarantees about no more cuts, no more privatizations, and an increase in the minimum wage and an increase in welfare payments, which the Socialist Party did. And to their credit, the candidate for the Socialist Party, who was the former mayor of Lisbon, a bloke called António Costa, mm-hmm. stared down his own most right-wing, most conservative people and said, no, we're going to do this. And there was actually quite a sizable fight inside the Socialist Party over whether they could really be dependent of support from people from their left. But he won that fight, and you've had a Socialist Party government, which has since then implemented probably the majority of the 70 points that were agreed between the Socialist Party and the organisations to its left, and is presently very popular in Portugal. It's the latest poll I've seen has the Socialist Party at the left at about 57% support and the right down to 35%, and that either up to 66% of people think they are either doing a very good job, a good job, or an okay job, which must be the most popular party in the whole of Europe, frankly.
Yes.
And basically that's because they've done what they said they'd do, and people have felt a definite but discernible improvement to their conditions of life. You know, nothing immense, nothing wonderful, but, you know, pensioners have suddenly got a bit more money. People on the minimum wage have got a bit more money. Suddenly, there's not going to be any more privatisations. So some big privatisations took place under the right wing, and the Socialist Party also accepted going ahead with privatisation that was underway when they came into power, which was the privatisation of the national airline. But despite all of that, it's a felt advance. It is at the left bloc Congress, their position is basically this is an advance, but it is not enough to guarantee that the country will continue to advance, and that's the next sort of struggle.
Mm.
And the main point of struggle will not so much be directly with the government, but getting the government to have enough spine to stand up to the pressure from the European Union on austerity. Yeah.
Mm, that's going to be a bit of a challenge, isn't it? Because after seeing what's happened in Greece and the Brexit, of course, the EU can't be too bold, because if they go for a referendum, they might do a Portuguese exit of some kind.
Well, they've got a big problem. European powers that be, I mean, the present, when we say European powers that be, what are we talking about? The present ruling forces in Europe, which is basically a coalition between the right of between the social democracy and the conservatives, paid quite a sizable political price for their brutal sadistic attack on Greece.
Yes.
And what happened in Portugal was very interesting, that this government was supposed not to be formed, and all the powers that be, including in Portugal, including important people connected with Europe, like the former commissioner, the former president of the European Commission, who was Portuguese and whose name just escapes me for the time being, they came out against the formation of this government. The trouble is now that it's in power, it's done some good stuff. It's felt to have done good things. And faced with that, the European Commission and the European Council, which is the heads of state of the the member states of the European Union, backed off enforcing fines on Portugal and on Spain, because when these two countries fell way behind their targets, their obligatory targets for public sector budget deficit reduction. According to any reading of the European law and regulations, both Spain and Portugal should have been fined because they were way behind their commitments on this. But the European powers that be decided not to do it because they knew that, you know, taking on Portugal and a country that has gone through terrible austerity,
yes,
and Spain, which is very important to them, where, you know, they're trying to avoid a Portuguese or even a semi-Portuguese kind of solution here because we have no government, we have an acting government of the right wing, that really would have just inflamed the political situation, especially after Brexit, to a degree that they just felt completely unconfident, correctly, that they would have been able to control.
Yeah. So now you've got this left government, so to speak. What does it look like? I mean, how are they going to stay in power? Because surely the right wing is not going to sit back and let them continue for too long.
Well, they're not. I mean, it's sort of, you say, is this a left government? Yes, it is a left government. But what do we mean by left government? It's a socialist party government.
Mm.
It'd be like having a Labour Party government.
Yeah, social democracy. Australian. Yeah.
Yeah, yeah, but it's like having a Labour Party government that under pressure from forces to its left, has said, which needs pressure from needs an agreement with forces to its left. Imagine Bill Shorten had won the last elections,
oh God,
and the Greens were more powerful.
Yeah,
and there are other forces like Socialist Alliance and other forces there with some role to play.
Yeah,
and they said, okay, Bill, we'll support you. But you're going to have to agree to some things. You're going to have to agree that there's, you know, there's going to be a decent minimum wage. You're going to have to agree that there's going to be no more privatisations. You're going to have to agree on all these points. And then you would get a government which would be actually quite popular because it did some decent stuff from the point of view of a mass of ordinary people.
Mm.
But it would also be a government that would be in a very difficult situation because it's capacity to actually carry out what it's supposed to carry out from the point of view of big capital would be reduced. And that's the situation that the Portuguese government's in, the Socialist Party government's in. And it's also got, you've got the added dimension, of course, which is that everything comes from Brussels. You know, all the pressure comes from internally, but the most important pressure comes from the European powers that be. So we will now see. It'll be very interesting because one of the reasons I think, and I think a lot of people think this, and I've seen comments to this effect, that they backed off was that the left bloc said Portugal has never had a referendum on whether it wants to be part of the European Union.
Hmm.
Portugal's never had a referendum on whether it wants to be part of the fiscal compact, which is the legislation and regulation that sets the targets for the size of the deficit you can have, and which determines these punishments, which they have not implemented in this case. Why doesn't Portugal have a referendum on this? There's nothing wrong with people deciding. There's nothing wrong with a referendum. And if people get fed up with this, we will fight for a referendum. And so the left bloc said, if they proceed to try and punish Portugal for having not meeting the budget targets, which was due to their very policies, i.e. austerity, so that it ran the economy into the ground, so it became impossible to meet these deficit reduction targets.
Mm.
If you insist on this, we'll have a political campaign for a referendum on whether we want to be part of the EU.
EU, yep.
So that, I think, had an impact.
Mm.
And so they know that's sitting there. and they know the sentiment out there. So that it was very interesting when the commissioners, you know, who were like the ministers for the European Union, when Juncker, who is the president of the European Commission, asked, who was in favour of implementing these fines, by the way, when he asked each of the 27, I think there are, commissioners, in turn, what they thought. By the time he got to the 19th, only four of them, and this includes right wingers, were in favour. Which at that point he said, "Oh well, let's, you know, it's clear that there's a majority against this," and so they arranged, you know, they arranged that it wasn't going to happen. But that's it gives you it's a reflection of what the political sentiment is there, and what the winds are that people are, the political winds are, that even at the level of these, you know, the stratospheric level of Brussels are being felt.
So you went to the conference in Lisbon, I assume.
I went to the Left Bloc's 10th National Convention, their decision-making congress, which they have every 2 years.
Uh-huh.
And that was very interesting. All the discussion was about this.
Hmm.
They've got a really testing situation because they are responsible for there being this left government. Without their saying, it was their decision to make this offer to the Socialist Party during the election campaign.
Mm-hmm.
They said to these, Katharina Martins, who's the national coordinator of the Left Bloc, said on national television in the sort of candidates debate, said to Costa, "We will support you for government on the basis of no more cuts to wages, increase in the minimum wage, increase in welfare payments, and a commitment to end privatisations."
And the 35-hour week got knocked, yeah?
No, the 35-hour week has been introduced. A lot of Left Bloc stuff they withdrew because they knew they weren't going to get them done.
Mm.
But they say, and I just want to talk about this, the way they handle this. They said to defeat the right, so make sure we don't have a right wing government, which is what we've been suffering for since 2011, and this right wing government, you know, boasted that it was the best implementer of austerity of any of the European countries that had been, you know, that had been hit with a memorandum. In order to avoid having that continue, we will support the Socialist Party government, but it must do some minimum things. Nothing to do with our entire program, but some basic things that change people's lives, and that's why welfare payments, minimum wage, and the welfare payments and minimum wage are into the future.
Mm.
So there's not just one offs, but a program of gradually increasing the minimum wage and gradually increasing welfare payments, so more and more people who are living in poverty get gradually lifted out of poverty. So that's, you know, that was their basic position. Also, that no more privatisation also means in the finance sector, no more selling off of Portuguese banks to foreign banks so that Portugal loses complete control of its finance system, because if they lose complete control of their finance system, well, they can have all the dreams they like about financing recovery and financing transition to sustainable energy, financing regional development, which is a big issue in Portugal. Because they won't be able to do it. You know? So that's another whole issue which is boiling away at the moment. The convention was a big debate about, basically, a big discussion about what was accepted, what are the red lines? Where do we draw the red lines here? And also, how do we keep up pressure on the Socialist Party so that we're building from below, from people, enough pressure to force them to stand up to Brussels. The next issue that's going to hit them is the threat from Europe to cut their structural funds. So all the European countries have this fund, which is the structural fund, which is for public infrastructure and various other things. And under the rules that govern this excessive budget deficit procedure, those funds can be cut off. So that's the next threat, the next piece of blackmail that will be operated from Brussels potentially.
That's
so
destroyed that attempt they're making in Portugal, isn't it?
Mm. Yeah, no. This is what they decided. When I say they, what the powers that be, led by the German finance minister, interestingly enough, mm-hmm. who was the villain of the piece in the Greek case,
yes.
Schäuble, Okay, we're not going to cane you now, like naughty boys. We're not going to cane you now. But if you misbehave again, we will really cane you. That's the threat. Okay, they make that threat, but that threat immediately has a political impact inside the country. So what the left bloc is saying, try that, and we will do everything we can to organise resistance. And that's basically what... The immediate phase is going to happen after the summer break here.
But that's
going to be the next sort of conflict.
If you've just tuned in, you're listening to Solidarity Breakfast on 3CR, 855 on your AM dial. I am Lalitha Chalaya, your host for this program this Saturday. This interview is with Dick Nichols, who is a correspondent for the Green Left Weekly newspaper. He lives in Barcelona in Spain. We shall continue with the interview. The approach taken by the conference that you attended had three strategic pieces to it. One's control of the finance sector.
Yep.
Two, to invest in decarbonizing the economy in food sovereignty and regional territorial cohesion to create jobs and so on. And the third one was reviving workers' rights and fighting casualization. That comes slap bang against the German finance minister's approach, I'd say.
Well, it's not just, it goes against the whole European Commission, European Union view of what the problem is in Southern Europe, which is you've got excessive labour rights, you've got rigid labour markets, et cetera, et cetera. So we want more casualisation, we want it easier to sack people. We want it more like Spain, where you've had two labour laws which have reduced, have created a, quotes, recovery based on the tourism industry where people work with no rights at all and are completely casualised. So that's our model of recovery, and that's what is being, that is exactly what the left bloc, and here they've got a lot of support inside the Socialist Party, and in the unions too, are opposed to, because so Portugal's gone through this, you know, whole 4 years of austerity and these policies which were introduced under the memorandum that came in 2011, and you know, living standards have been reduced. Where's the recovery?
Exactly.
Workers' rights have been taken away. There's a slight, slow recovery, basically due to increased tourism. And so the European Commission answer to this is, well, you haven't done it enough. You know, look next door. Look in Spain. They've done much better because they've really got into, put the boot into workers' rights. They've really casualised the labour market. So there's your model. So that's what the battle is going to be.
So the stage is set for a massive fight, really, between the EU and what the Portuguese government at the moment is going to do, hopefully.
Well, what is really instructive about this, I think, for those of us on the left who are thinking about, you know, left strategy and advancing the class struggle and advancing workers' rights and the rights of the majority of the population against the, you know, the capitalist elites, is the way the left bloc has posed this. They're popular because they allowed a socialist party to come into government, and they killed off the right wing.
Yep.
So that is a big plus for them. On the other hand, they don't tail behind the socialist party. They say all the time, we have disagreements with the socialist party on all these things. For example, restructuring of the debt. You can't really revive the Portuguese economy unless you have a radical restructuring of the debt, which enables public investment.
Yep.
You can't revive the Portuguese economy without a big public bank at the very minimum, which enables that the government and the councils and, you know, so and communities to have access to the funding that's necessary for all the work that has to be done. I mean, in Portugal, you go there, you can see what they're talking about. So Portugal divides right down the middle. You've got the coast, which has got development of the touristy kind, and then you've got the interior going towards the border with Spain, And that is, you know, sort of dead and backward, and everybody's leaving these rural villages because there's no work. The younger generation's disappeared. Just the classic rural underdevelopment and regional underdevelopment.
Yeah.
How are you going to change this? You can't change this without – there's only one way to do it, which is with public investment, a new model of agriculture in the regions, et cetera, et cetera. And the Block and a lot of other people have done very good work on this. So this is what the Left Block puts up. And the more popular that gets – the more their proposals become popular, the more pressure they put on the Socialist Party. And they say openly, we are for a left majority against the right, but there's no law of gravity that says that left majority has to be hegemonized, has to be basically determined by the Socialist Party. We are looking to be the hegemonic force inside the left. Completely honest. So they're saying completely honestly, we don't agree with the Socialist Party. We think the Socialist Party is too timid, too conditioned by the needs of capital, too, you know, what it is. And we're putting our proposals out there. And this is very good because it demonstrates that there's politics is struggle.
Yep.
You know, politics is the fight for the balance of forces.
That's right.
And if you try and do politics as, you know, tickets. Oh, they're social democrats. We're revolutionaries. They're Stalinists. If you try and think just with labels and not in terms of how do you actually win support and advance your position in society, you know, then you're doomed. And that's what they're doing very well indeed. You know, they're doing a very good job there.
It's a good struggle. So that, I mean, sorting out the positions and be very clear and convey that to the people publicly. And that's an important, you know, a process to go through so people know who stands where. It's the other part of the equation, I suppose.
Well, it's a very interesting moment. The Left Bloc, who are very, very hospitable people, they had a dinner for the international visitors and delegates from other parties. And it's not just a dinner. It's Katharina Martins, the national coordinator, gave a little speech on what they think they're doing, and then they take questions from everybody there. And in answer to one of the questions, she said, the best indicator that we're doing okay is that people stop us in the street and say, keep up the good work.
Yeah.
That's, you know, not what we read in the media, not, you know,
of course.
Articles from academics, nothing like that.
Yeah.
Just, you know, our people in the street, I get stopped and said, you know, by people and say, we appreciate what you're doing. Keep up the good work. And, of course, when you've got that, then you've got the possibility that Socialist Party voters will come across to you because they see you as doing good work, you know, and that's where they're at the moment. But it's very difficult. There's a very interesting interview with Katharina in this weekend's Publico, which is like the Age in Lisbon, but a very interesting interview about what life is like. And she's saying it's like a permanent torture because we're not, you know, we don't have the comfort of just being in opposition saying, no, you're selling out. But we're not part of the government either.
Yes.
So we're in this permanent struggle to see what we can get from the government, but we're going to defend this government against the right wing. So, and away they go. This produces a left wing or inside the Block itself, who are opposed to this tactic. So that's called. There were three tendencies, and that was tendency R at the convention, which has about 9%, which had about 9% support. Which is basically saying they should not have done this, should not have signed this agreement. But, you know, well, if you say that, then you really have to say it would have been better to have the right wing in government.
Yep.
And I don't think, well, a vast, over 80% of the delegates support what they're doing. So I think that that's a sort of interesting sign.
No, but the struggle is interesting and it's important, and it's a public struggle over the left and right wing views and the policies and the strategies when explained to the people. And it's that sort of involvement you want. You want to see where the people stand in relation to the positions these different parties put forward. And that's a healthy political debate as opposed to many other countries, including Australia, where the opposition is silenced. Generally, here when they've got a debate, they ban the Greens. It's always the, you know, twiddly-twiddle-dum debate. And the same thing happens in the USA, whereas here you've got a broader involvement in the key political positions that are being put forward as debated publicly, so that people can have access to the information that they need to make up their minds.
It's very interesting. One of the points that's made, it was made at the convention time and again, is that the left bloc has got this presence at the level of national politics, and now, you know, they're all over the media and they've got television programs. They've got this presence. But what they still don't have, and which the Communist Party has because it's been around for much longer. You know, kept going. It led the resistance against the dictatorship up until 1974. It is structure on the ground, support on the ground, even though they've improved. They've got more branches than before. Especially in the regions. And so you see, if you look at the election results from the left bloc, they've got decent results in the past in the European elections and in general elections, general Portuguese elections. But their results in municipal and regional elections are generally quite poor. And that's a reflection of, you know, everybody was talking about this, that the big job now is to use the gains of the past 6 months, really, the gains of, since the election, the Portuguese elections, in order to build themselves in the regions and at the level of the towns. They're beginning to do that. I mean, they've had really interesting successes on Madeira, which is this holiday island and tax haven, where they have two members in the regional parliament. These are basically local activists who stood up and said, we're sick and tired of people telling us the only way you can get jobs in Madeira is by joining tax evasion industry or the tourism industry. Yeah. You know, there's got to be more to life than this for our island. Mm. And now they, in the next regional election, they're going to be in the Azores, which is, you know, the other set of islands, which are Portuguese, and they're going to run a big campaign there. So it'll be interesting to see how they go there. That this has got to be done, especially in the inner hinterland of Portugal, that is to say, towards the border with Spain.
Well, it looks like the stage is set for a very interesting journey in the next few months or even a couple of years. Given this debate's raging now, people are going to have to make up their mind for the next elections through this process of debate, which is much healthier than before.
I think it's very good for the whole left in Europe, and I in Portugal, it's sort of just, you know, because Portugal tends to be forgotten.
Yep.
You know, it does. Actually, the left in Portugal, the left bloc in particular, is more mature and has had more experiences and has thought more deeply about its own experiences and its own crises, the left bloc included, than a lot of other left organisations. So one of the things that they've come through, this all these complicated questions about broad party versus a party that's got a good program but, you know, is not going to necessarily win popular support. How you build a broad party in such a way that it's, you know, you're not just building an electoral machine, but you're building something that's got solidity, that's got real commitment from its members, that's got people wanted are prepared to sacrifice for. All the tricky problems of what concessions should you make to the Socialist Party in front to stay in government? Where do you draw the red lines? All these things, which are very, very tricky and will never be decided beforehand or on the basis of principles. Mm. The left bloc is sort of leading the way on this stuff.
Yeah.
The other thing I'd say is that they have all the experience that goes, a sort of continuity of experience that goes way back to the fight against the dictatorship. They've done one thing which is very important for the left, is they've had a generational transition. Their leadership today is between the ages of 40, just over 40, their central leadership, and 28, 29. And the old leadership, they're doing useful work in the background, in think tanks and, you know, supplying stuff, but they're not they're not making the decisions now. Mm. And you know, they're having their say, obviously, like any member.
Yeah.
But that's a very important thing, that yes. they've been able to do that. And they have the most feminine leadership of any left party in Europe. And I don't think it's a complete coincidence that that's one of the reasons they're doing so well. Because they introduce a very different style of, you know, much more collaborative, you know, a much more conversational way of doing politics, much less big speeches from the front of the room sort of stuff.
Okay, very thanks. Yeah, the process is really worth watching, isn't it?
There's a lot to learn from it, and I'll try and keep people in Australia up to speed with this, because there's a lot of material that is very, very instructive.
Yep, a lot to learn. Okay, thanks, Dick.
Thank you very much, Lali. All the best.
You have a good day. Bye.